This is A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com, the show that helps you grow your business and enrich your life. Now, here's the host of A Sharp Outlook, Angela Sharp.
Hello, everyone, and I want to take this time to personally thank you for tuning in to A Sharp Outlook, a talk show broadcast here on TalkZone.com. We are here to provide you with information if you are a startup, a small business, an existing business, thinking about starting a business, or you just want to know about current events. We're the show to tune into for best practices and thought-provoking discussions and discussions that we have each week with our industry experts. Some of our topics impact business, but they also impact health, communities, families, and our children. And our last segment of our show, I give you an opportunity to call in, and I call it our Ask Me segment, where you can call in and ask questions and engage with me or our guest. And today, I'm going to be giving you an overview about how to be prepared for an audit. And the reason why I'm doing this is because over the past several weeks, I have gotten several calls trying to get information or get consulting on how to prepare for an A-133 audit. So I can see that it is something that people are needing assistance with. And so I can only be at one place at one time, so I just thought I would present this to our listening audience. So if you're a foundation, a nonprofit, a tribe, a tribal enterprise, and you are receiving over $500,000 a year in federal dollars, you are going to be expected to have an independent audit on internal controls, or in other words, an A-133 audit. And there are a lot of regulatory guidelines and OMB requirements that are there to protect the assets. And they want to make sure the internal controls are there, procedures are there, governance, oversight, segregation of duties, and that risk have been minimized. So my question to you today, and it is the topic of our show, are you prepared for this single audit, the A-133 audit? Do you understand how to establish a tracking system for those federal dollars? Are you aware of the OMB A-133 requirements? Do you understand internal controls? These are the things we're going to go through today. And I have also on my website, www.asharpoutlook.com, if you look up this particular blog for today, I have also placed a couple of documents there that will provide information, a supplement on any new changes that have taken place for the requirements of A-133, and also a matrix that tells you, based on the grantor and the type of dollars that you're receiving, what your requirements are going to be and what you're responsible for. So I hope those two tools are going to be very helpful to you. But we're going to talk about this. We want to make sure that you're prepared, because if you're not prepared, it's going to could cause you to have your dollars held up. It could cause your funding to be restricted. You could end up having to pay back dollars. So we want you to really, really understand exactly what's going on for an A-133 audit. Today we're going to discuss these things, and we're going to talk about risk assessments and self-evaluation, you know, to identify those risks. Because what I'm hoping for our listeners is the information I'm going to provide today, you're going to take this information back, you're going to take it to your organization, and you're going to implement some of the recommendations that I have made so that you can start doing your own kind of mini internal audit to make sure that you're prepared. You don't want to wait till the auditor is on site. It's too late, and there's zero tolerance. So you're going to want to get prepared before that occurs. So let's begin with the A-133 audit. Let's talk about what it is. I'm going to ask myself, what is an A-133 audit? And the answer is, it is a method of testing that your internal controls are effective. In other words, your internal controls consist of all measures taken by an organization for the purpose of protecting its resources against waste, fraud, inefficiencies, and ensuring accuracy and reliability in accounting and operating data. You're going to be securing that you're in compliance with the policies of the organization and the policies and regulations of all of the oversight organizations. You're going to be evaluating your performance. Are you meeting what you specified on the grant? And one thing I'd like to make sure you understand, some people think, oh, gosh, this is a horrible thing. I have to have this A-133 audit. But if you understand how to prepare for it and you set certain things in place, what the A-133 audit is simply helping you to have the controls in place, which are good business practice. Controls are really good business practice because then you don't have to guess if something is happening or if you have everything in order or if you have everything prepared. Everything is just running smoothly. You can rest. You can go through the audit. You know everything's going to be smooth because you have best practices in place. And this is what this show also is about. Let's getting in a place where you are doing best practices. One of the organizations that really is a part of the A-133 audit and a part of all grants altogether is the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. And it oversees and coordinates the administration's procurement, financial management, information, and regulatory policies. That's what the OMB department does. It coordinates mechanisms to reduce waste. Keep in mind, the dollars you received are public dollars. They're dollars that has come from tax dollars. They're dollars that really belong to me as a taxpayer, you as a taxpayer. So, as a taxpayer, we all want to make certain that those that are recipient of those public dollars are managing those dollars well. I think that makes sense. I know you know that makes sense. So the thing is to get into compliance. Let's talk about all the things you need to do. That OMB is going to ensure that that grant is managed properly and that the federal dollars are spent in accordance with all of the laws and all of the regulations. And you get those laws and regulations up front when you receive the grant. One of the major circulars or OMB regulatory requirements is the A-110, which is all of the administrative requirements. In other words, in that particular OMB, and if you wanted to know what the requirements are, you can look at your particular grant, but you can also go out to the government site, OMB A-110, and it's going to tell you all of the different requirements there. There are specific ones that they really look at, and I'm going to get into that later on in the program, but they are handling all of the administrative things, making sure there's oversight, making sure that there's someone reviewing, making sure that the travel costs are within specific guidelines. All of those things are under the A-110. The OMB A-133, that's for the audit, and it's for all nonprofit, tribal, foundation recipients that receive federal funds exceeding $500,000. And if you have received those dollars of $500,000 or more, that audit that's going to be done, it's not only going to be auditing that $500,000 or more from the federal, but then it will also audit all of the dollars that you're receiving from foundations or any other organization. So it's going to be a total organizational audit, not just those particular funds. But they will be looking at those specifically by grant to see that you are in compliance with what was stated in the grant and the OMBs. There's also an A-87, which is an OMB that covers tribal organizations, and there are specific things for tribes only, and there are some exemptions because they are tribal organizations. So you want to make sure that you are educated on all three of those particular OMB circulars. So as I mentioned before, the organizations that are required to do it are the organizations that receive over $500,000 in federal assistance. But you also have to make sure when you are thinking about an A-133 audit, if you have any sub-recipients, that they're going to be audited also. So you want to make sure if you're subcontracting that you are subcontracting with someone who is managing their financial information. All of the information that needs to be done, it generally needs to be completed and submitted within 9 months of the close of the fiscal year. So that's when you're going to have your audit completed. So you want to make sure what I always tell clients if you make sure everything is ticking and tying during the year, then you don't have to wait 2 months before the audit or 3 months before the audit trying to catch everything up and trying to get ready, you know, for the independent auditors to come on site, because you will end up overlooking something and it will show up in the audit. In that 9 month period, you will have to have a written response to the audit findings if there are any findings that have occurred during the audit. If it's not submitted timely, then it must be done within 30 days after the audit is issued. And, you know, even though you failed the audit, it's not a reason not to submit the audit information and have the independent audit done. So it is a requirement. You're not going to get away from it. So the best thing to do is just get prepared. You're going to have an independent auditor that has to come in and perform this audit. It cannot be done by your internal auditor. And it's going to be an audit that's going to include not only just the grant audit, but a total operational audit. And they're going to be looking and testing for compliance. And if there were any restrictions on the grant, they're going to look at every restriction and make sure that you have followed those restrictions on that grant. They're going to be testing for the internal controls to make certain that, you know, you have regulatory compliance. And then they're going to test for all of the laws, regulations, rules, award conditions, everything. And one thing, if I don't say anything else today, I'm going to say it early and I'll probably repeat it. There is zero tolerance for errors. So this is how important that A-133 audit is. There's no room for errors, no room for, well, I had a new system and this is why my cash doesn't tie out, or, you know, we changed banks and so this is why I don't have my bank reconciliations done. That it'll be documented, it'll be written down, but it's not going to be an acceptable excuse as far as the audit is concerned. The independent auditor is going to be looking at your processes, making sure that all of your internal processes and procedures are in compliance with GAAP, which is GAAP, Generally Accepted Accounting Principles. If you don't have that booklet, I would recommend you at least go to the site, Accounting Principles, GAAP, and pull down all of the particular principles that are based on your particular organization. So it has to be in compliance. They're going to make certain that there's oversight. So if your policies, they're going to pull your policies and procedures. If your policies say there must be 3 signatures before any invoice can be paid, there had better be 3 signatures on every invoice, because they're going to take 10%, test it, find out whether or not those signatures are there. If they're not, it's going to be written up. If they find more than 3, they're going to pretty much state that it's a failure and that oversight does not occur. They're going to also write up recommendations to improve the procedures if they find that there are certain areas they've tested cash management. They're going to test. They're going to test revenues not being recorded properly in a timely manner. They're going to test all those things, and they're going to write up recommendations for you to improve those particular procedures. And they're going to confirm the benefits for the grant that you have received, that the recipients are actually receiving the benefits. So in other words, if you said that you're going to be doing a project where you're consulting 30 people, you know, in the year, you're going to have to document that those recipients did benefit from those particular services that you provided. So they're going to establish that you're in compliance with the laws. They're going to establish that, you know, you have demonstrated it, you have documentation to prove it, and that you have controls in place sufficient to ensure assets are safeguarded and your financial reporting is not only accurate, but it is timely. It's very important that information, especially financial information, is reported in a timely manner. As I mentioned before, it has to be presented fairly in accordance with GAAP, and they're going to confirm CEFA, which is the Schedule of Expenditures of Federal Awards. We're going to take a break. This is important information if you're a foundation, so please join us on the other side of the break.
Now, back to more of A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. Here's Angela Sharp.
Thank you for listening to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. We are talking about the A-133 audit. And are you prepared for that audit? So I'm going to go at this point in time. I explained to you what the audit was and why it's necessary. Let's talk about the specific items that are going to be audited. For instance, all grants, and I want you to understand this carefully. I mentioned before, if you're receiving $500,000 or more in federal dollars, you're going to be required to have an A-133 audit. But you may have other grants that are there, and so all federal grants that have been received and are still currently open in that year, they will all be audited. So it's not just going to be the one that exceeds the $500,000. It's going to be all federal grants received and still open in the current year. And they are going to review other grants that you may have received from a foundation, the state, and local sources also. They're going to be looking at direct and indirect funds that are federal and are included. We want to make sure you list everything. So when I say we want to do the CEFA report, that is the Schedule of Federal Awards and Expenditures, you're going to list every grant that you have received and that is still is open, and then you're going to be making sure that you are able to track the expenses and what has been expended that year and what is remaining. I want to help you understand one other thing, because a lot of people make a mistake on this. They think they can just print out a revenue and expense report out of their system and that is going to be acceptable. It's not acceptable, because there is a difference between what an expenditure is and what an expense is. An expense, especially when most organizations are on the accrual system, they're not on a cash-based system, then you're going to be recording expenses at the time they're incurred, not when they're paid. Expenditures are actual cash outlay. So you're going to want to have an accounting system that is able to distinguish between an expense and an expenditure. And we're going to get into that in more detail as we go forward. You're going to want to also have a good tracking system that can validate any cost allocations that are necessary. If you have matching funds or something like that, and you need to have cost allocation because there's different areas of expenses that you have, you want to have your system to be able to track all costs, track them by fund and award, so that when you actually run a report, you don't have expenses that belong to a different grant. So setting up a system accurately is very important. Go through all of your expenses. If you haven't done it, you haven't reviewed it on a monthly basis, start reviewing all of your expenses. Look at specific line items, your payroll, your salaries, your benefits. If you've purchased major equipment, you want to look at all of your equipment. You want to specifically look at travel costs, and I'll go into more detail. And if you have expenses, especially travel, you want to make sure all rates are in compliance. If your grant says that you can purchase items, but it needs to be the lowest bid, then you need to make sure that you have documentation that you have purchased, accepted a bid for the lowest price, or have an explanation why you had to go with the sole vendor. You're going to want to make sure travel. There is a list in the OMB that tells you exactly what the travel rates are, what the per diem is, what the hotel rates, what the daily food rates, different things like that. You want to make sure that when you have someone traveling, that they their expenses, if they're reimbursed, fall within the lines of compliance. If not, you need to document. Maybe it's a very remote area. I know some of the tribal organizations, when they travel, they have their conferences maybe in an area that's a little more remote. So the rental car is going to be more expensive. The airfare might be more expensive. The hotel might be more expensive. So if you can explain, because this is where the conference is, the travel costs, and there was no other hotel or, you know, area where you could stay that stays within that line, just document. If you feel that you're not going to be in compliance, document and explain why. And at least you have something that can be accepted, as that you were still doing oversight and you were still trying to manage your expenses and fall within, you know, the areas of compliance. As I said before, you don't want to be waiting until it's 3 months before your independent auditor comes on site. It needs to be done every month. Begin preparing as soon as you receive the award. Don't wait until the award's closing out, and don't wait until the independent auditor's coming on site. You should be at least at minimum looking at some type of financial information quarterly. So begin quarterly having your staff go in and validate expenses and validate, you know, the system to make sure everything's posting correctly so that you're not caught at the last minute. You know, identify and prepare resources, you know, that will be needed by the auditor. If you know auditors are going to be looking at the grants, they're going to want copies of it. As soon as you get it, make a copy of it and put it in a file for the auditors, because they are coming. So that way you're not running around at the end of the year or just before they come on site trying to locate things, trying to find things. Make sure all of the grants have all of the proper signatures on them. Make sure it is the final award and it has all of the signatures on it. It's not a photocopy. It's not the submitted grant. It is the final award and it has all the signatures on that document. You want to also list all of the organizations, you know, and their contact names that would be required to be a part of this A-133, especially if you have subcontractors. So you want their names, you want to be able to contact them, you want to make sure that they are prepared also, because there may be information that is received from them. Administrative rate proposal. If you are going in for an indirect cost method, if you're using that particular method, for your administrative costs and you have an indirect cost rate, make sure it's the current rate. Make sure you have a letter stating what your current indirect cost rate is. Make sure that's the rate you have been using for allocating your administrative expenses for that year. So as soon as you receive that rate, make sure all managers and your accounting staff and everyone has that information available so they are applying that rate correctly during the particular current year. So communication is very important to prepare for that. But as I mentioned before, the biggest thing you want to do is start early. You don't want to wait until 3 months before the audit begins. Like I said, I've gotten several calls, and I can hear the anxiety, almost the hysteria in their voice, because the auditor's coming on site and they have a whole year's worth of information that they're trying to now clean up and trying to fix and trying to, you know, do a mini audit in advance and all these, you know, reallocating expenses and going in and, like I said, cleaning up financial information. That's just not good business practice. I'm just going to put it out there. It's not good business practice. You generally end up missing something because there's just not enough time to clean up a whole year's worth of transactions. And so do it quarterly. I recommended to the people that I talked to, let's talk about starting a self-monitoring system. Let's set up self-monitoring testing and reviewing so that you are prepared and you know in advance if there's some risk, if there are some controls not working, if there's some oversight issues, if the procedures are not tight and there seems to be things falling through the crack, start doing self-monitoring. And I would start doing it in the first quarter that you begin it so you can see whether or not there are some risks. Then you have adequate time to go in and actually fix that problem. But if you're waiting till the last minute, you know, I'm hoping that you have enough staff or external consultants come in that can come in and really go through it and quickly get it fixed. If not, you know, I think you're going to have some errors and you're going to fail your A133 audit. One thing you're going to want to make sure, because of the fact of Sarbanes-Oxley, and I know I'm talking to nonprofit organizations, but there are two specific rules that are still a requirement of nonprofits, and that is destruction of documents and then the whistleblower. Those two are still required by everyone. And so you want to have a good system where you are actually retaining your documents and keeping them and retaining them according to the requirements by generally accepted accounting principles. You can look up retention and you'll find out just how long you're supposed to keep specific information and documents for review. You're going to also want to be able to look at, you know, besides the retention, you're going to want to make sure that you have some means of being able to withdraw that information. You have like a manifest where if you're wanting to go in and find specific documents, you can find them easily because your retention area is organized. I've, from my own internal audit jobs that I've worked at and going on site, I see that retention is something that's kind of haphazard. No one really pays that much attention. But when it comes time to finding that document and you can't, you're going to realize just how important it was to put these in some type of organized fashion. If you don't want a lot of boxes and things around, then you can start scanning and putting them into storage mechanisms that can be stored off-site just in the event of a fire or a hazard or something like that. You want to be able to, like I said, make sure that you have good control over documents that are in retention. You need to have one department that is handling that. They are the only ones that should be checking documents in and checking them out to ensure that those documents are not lost. Because, as I said before, it's going to be very critical if they are needed when the auditor comes on site. So make sure that you're doing that. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back and talk more about different areas that you need to be prepared for in your A133 audit.
Welcome back to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. Here again is Angela Sharp.
Well, we're back talking about A133 audits here on TalkZone.com, and we're going to continue talking about areas that you need to be prepared for in that audit. One of the things, some of your grants themselves require cost sharing or matching funds. And one of the things I would recommend is, especially those that do have matching funds required, have that already decided before you even apply for the award. Know where your matching sources are going to come from. Because when they come on site and they're looking for the matching funds, you need to have those matching funds available. I have been in situations where I'm going in as an internal audit and they don't have the matching funds, but they have a letter stating, you know, yes, we're going to be donating these funds, you know, at a particular date. So long as you have something proving that you have matching funds or some kind of cost sharing, it's going to be representing a portion of your program or your project that is not paid for or supported by federal dollars. If you have a program that is, it needs $100,000, the federal government is only providing $80,000, you've got $20,000 in match or cost sharing that needs to take place for that project or program to be whole. And the federal government is going to have in that internal audit looking to see, do you have that other $20,000 coming in? Because based on your budget that you sent in when you got your grant, you stated you needed $100,000 for this program to be successful. It's not going to run on $80,000. So you need to be able to show that you did receive those cost shares or those matching funds. They can be, you know, they have to be non-federal sources. They can be contributions. They can be donations. They can be a grant from a foundation, a non-federal other source. But you need to have a letter or award letter stating that these funds are committed for this particular project. Those costs should be real or personal. Some can also do in-kind contributions. You may have expertise that's coming in. They're not going to charge for their time, so they're donating that time or they're bringing that in-kind contribution. So maybe there was $20,000 in consulting services, or a therapist was going to be there and provide $20,000 worth of consulting, and that time is being provided as in-kind instead of actual having to pay for that time. You just need to document that it is in-kind contributions and be able to support that they did, in fact, contribute that time for that project. So it's really important that you know, document that if it's going to be in-kind or some type of matching funds. There needs to be some way to evaluate what those in-kind contributions are. What did you base it on? Actual time? Did you base it on actual hourly rate? It should, if it's property or something like that that is being donated, it should be at fair market value, whatever the fair market value is as of that current date. So you can't say this equipment that's being donated that's worth $20,000 and in the market it's only worth $5,000. It's not going to be accepted. If they're volunteer services, like I said before, it needs to be documented. And you need to show the basis for determining the value for the personal services or the material or the equipment, the land and buildings. All of that needs to be documented, and what is the basis for determining what the value is. Have that ready. Have that prepared. Have that in a folder along with your award stating that this is the in-kind, this is how it was calculated, or this is the other grant, and this is how much they are actually going to be providing. So all of that is really important. One of the very, very important things that's going to be happening when the auditors, you know, we are financial people and we like to look at numbers. So when that auditor comes on site, they're going to be pulling your financial information, not only your financial, internal financial reports, but they're going to be pulling the financial reports that you send in to the grantor on a quarterly basis or every 6 months or annually, stating how much you've spent, what you've spent it on, and all of these information needs to tie to what your financial reports are stating. Everything needs to be the same amount. So make sure all your financial reports all state the same amount that was expended. The ones you've sent into the grantor need to match what's on your financial statements, needs to match what's in your file, needs to match what's remaining, and it needs to be able to be tested and have documentation to prove that it's accurate. That's one of the things they're going to be looking at. As your financial information, find out that it's accurate, it's current, it's complete, that it's timely, because especially if your reports are supposed to be in, you know, 15 days after the end of the quarter, then you need to prove that you submitted it 15 days after the end of the quarter. You need to also show that there are controls in place and there's accountability for the funds, because they're wanting to make sure that there's oversight. They're going to want to look at comparison reports with the budget. Here's the grant budget. are you spending the dollars according to your the plan that you put in place? You're going to have a three-year grant, and you're starting to spend, and it looks like you spent 75% of that grant in the first year, and you have three more years to go. There's going to be some huge questions asked as to, is there management over these dollars, because you've got two more years to go and you've already spent 75% of this grant. Now, it is acceptable if the majority of that grant was to buy some equipment, then you might have some explanations. But just operating dollars and all of it being spent in the first year, there's going to be questions as to why this outlay occurred the way it did. You need to have all your receipts, receipts of the funds being received. You need to have, you know, your staff, your accounting staff have the bank statements showing that it actually went into the bank account. So have all of that, you know, prepared and ready for the examination by the independent auditor. Reasonableness, what's allowable, you know, they're going to be looking at allocation methods, whether it's indirect costs, direct costs, if it's spread, expenses are spread over several departments, what is the basis for this? They're going to be looking at all of the federal principles, which are your OMB requirements, and they're going to be looking at the terms of the grant agreement. So if there's specific terms, they're going to be looking at that and how it affects the financial statements. They're going to be looking to see if there's monitoring. Is someone monitoring what's going on? Is someone monitoring the expenditures? They're going to be looking at what's accomplished during that particular time period. You know, if your goals have been met, if they haven't been met, why they were not met. So they're going to be looking to see about the program itself, not just the financial part, but they're going to look at your actual program. What did you say you were going to be doing? What did you say you were going to provide to your community? They're going to be looking at the statistical data. We all know the federal government. It's all about stats. So you need to maintain the stats. You need to be able to prove that you met the goals and objectives that you stated. If not, you need to go in and have that modified prior to the end of that fiscal year so that you're not held accountable for something you are not able to meet. It's called pre-planning. It's called best practices. Put those things in place that you're going in and actually monitoring, you know, what's happening in the program itself. You know, and have data to show exactly what you have achieved during that time period, and so that you can explain everything that's going on. If you're having problems, or if you had problems, you might as well report them to the grantor and try to work out and negotiate some kinds of changes that need to make, so that you can prove, you know, we were looking at what was going on. There was a risk, or there was a problem, or there was some unfavorable developments that occurred. We jumped on it. We fixed it. This is what happened. We talked to the grantor. This is what we agreed to do. Document that conversation. Document the final results. Put that in the folder so you can get some kind of leeway or adjustment to not being compliant to the grant itself. If you see that you've got changes or you're not going to meet certain goals, your budget line items are now exceeding, you know, 10% of the budget itself, you need to go in and do a modification. Send in to have those modifications done. Do that before the end of your fiscal year. You see your financials. You see the budget line items are overrun in certain areas. Readjust your budget, get approval for a budget modification. Maybe there were items that were going to cost you more than what you thought. You know, be proactive, and that's what I would probably recommend more than anything, is for you to be proactive in being able to substantiate what's going on with that grant and what's going on with the financial information. Make sure that you get in writing that there is approval from the sponsoring agency. Don't put somebody's name down and say, oh, this is what they said. Make sure everything is in writing, because auditors only want to see what's in writing. Telephone conversations out in the air have no meaning during an audit. So make sure it is documented. Make certain that you have that placed somewhere so you can show it as support, different things like that. So you're going to want to make sure that you do those particular things. It's really important, if I don't stress anything else, to be proactive. Do that self-monitoring. Go in and deal with the problems when they occur. Don't wait till they pile up and you now have been placed on funds hold, or your funds are now restricted, or they've placed you, you know, in that little bucket that says, you know, you're out of compliance, and so we cannot, you know, issue any of your funds, because that's just not going to help your situation at all. You don't want that showing up on the A-133 audit, because let me tell you a secret in case you don't know. It's public information, and anyone can go out and look at your A-133 audit and see exactly how this organization has been running. So if you're considering going out and getting dollars from other sources, you're going to find that difficult, because they can go in and see that audit report and see that there seems to be a lack of oversight, a lack of responsibility there, and that their dollars might be at risk. We're going to come back and we're going to continue talking about things that you want to prepare for in your audit, and we're going to answer your questions.
You're listening to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. Here again is Angela Sharp.
Well, welcome back. This is our Ask Me segment, where you get to call in and ask questions. I hope you do call in and ask questions. The number is 888-463-6748. That is 888-463-6748, or 888-GO-FOR-IT. And I will be here to answer your questions or to assist in, you know, any way that I can, send you supporting information, documents, or whatever that's going to help you be successful in your audit. As I mentioned before, the A-133 audit is very, very important, and there are specific things that are going to be looked at during that audit, and you need to be aware. You need to be aware so that you're prepared, and you're preparing long before your independent auditor comes on site. The internal controls is one of the major parts of an A-133 audit. And there are several areas that are looked at specifically, and I want to go through them briefly. They're looking at the control environment, the risk assessment, the control activities, information and communication, and if there is monitoring. And I want to tell you what that means in each area, the control environment. They're looking at the environment itself and to see what is the tone of the organization. And how is it influencing the consciousness of the staff itself? What kind of control do you have? Is it intimidating? What is your environment like? You know, they're wanting to see whether or not there are controls. Are you providing the discipline? Is there a structure? You know, what kind of structure is there? And they're going to look at that specifically. They're going to look at your organizational chart. They're going to come in and actually talk to your people. And they're going to ask your staff, you know, how do they feel about the environment? When they're talking about environment, they're talking about is there ethical conduct going on? Is there a code of conduct, whether it's written down or whether it's, you know, verbal? What kind of conduct is there? Is there a governing board? What kind of management response do you have about cost and controls and recommendations? You know, can you go to management and talk about those things to them, you know, about improving things? Or if there are costs that come through your accounts payable department and they want to question those costs, what kind of environment? Are they afraid to ask you about this cost or this travel that was spent or these dollars that were spent on this grant and they don't belong to this grant? They need to be having an environment where all costs can be questioned, and so that you have controls there. They're going to ask about what's the, you know, management's adherence to the program compliance requirements. Is management following the rules? You know, are the responsibilities clearly defined? Do they feel the managers have adequate knowledge and experience to perform the duties? Do the staff, are they knowledgeable about the requirements? Are they able to carry out the duties and the requirements of that program or the job? Can they discuss instances of non-compliance with management without feeling afraid? Does management have a commitment written, or whether it's written or verbal, do they have a commitment to competence? And here's another thing that's very important. Has the staff, or is the staff, or will the staff receive adequate training to perform the duties of their job? I'll tell you one thing. There's training for every grant award that you ever receive. They always offer training to the staff. So they're going to say that you don't have much of an excuse when they are spending the time making those trainings available when those awards are offered. And do they? Does management support an adequate information system? They're going to look at risk assessments. Has the organization identified and analyzed risk relevant to achieving the goals and objectives? What are those risks? Do they have answers for those risks? Do they have a plan for mitigating those risks and managing those risks and eliminating those risks? And are those risks monitored on a regular basis? So they want to know, are the managers and the staff, do they understand what the key objectives are in that program? Do they have processes to actually implement changes so that they're meeting the objectives and the procedures? And do they have plans if they identify there's non-compliance? So it's really important that everyone is aware of the risk involved, and do they have plans in fact written down so they can mitigate those risks? Control activities. What are the policies and procedures to ensure that the objectives are met and that the manager directives are fulfilled? What are those policies? So they're going to be reviewing your policies and procedures, making sure they're clearly written. They're going to look at making sure that those procedures implement any changes that are made to any laws, regulations, any guides, any agreements, anything related to that grant. Not only do you have that information, but have you made procedural changes, process changes to make sure that the laws are actually, that you're going to be within the laws and you're going to be compliant because you now have procedures that are recognizing those new laws that are affecting you. Does management prohibit intervention or overriding particular controls? That's really important to make sure that management's not overriding what the laws are, overriding what the rules are. You've got adequate segregation of duties. Personnel, as I mentioned before, has all of the knowledge and experience necessary. You have the equipment and the cash and the assets. They are secured and they're accounted for, and you can see them and they're recorded and they're tracked, and you have a governing board that is overseeing the organization itself. And then information and communication. They're going to talk to your staff to find out, do you have a means of exchanging information so that everybody is aware of what the rules are, what the environment is, what is required, you know, what you have to do, what we need for compliance. And so they're going to be looking at, is that information available? But also they're looking at information and communication as it relates to financial information. Is that prepared timely? Is it distributed to all managers who might be responsible for performing certain duties? Do the staff have meetings to discuss, you know, changes in policies, changes in laws, you know, changes in procedures. Do you have things that you place on the bulletin board? Are there memos that get circulated or emails? Sometimes it's good if you're having to track information to see whether or not your program is actually adequate. Do you have surveys or a suggestion box or whatever? Make sure that there is some type of, you know, information and communication going on, and that the channels are free and clear of harassment. They're going to make sure you have a whistleblower policy. That is a requirement, so that staff, if they feel there's inappropriate behavior going on, they have an opportunity to blow the whistle so that the whole organization is not harmed by someone else's behavior. And then they're going to be looking to make sure that there's monitoring. Somebody is assessing what's going on. Somebody's reviewing what's going on. Somebody's looking what's going on. There are independent reviews between managers, and they're able to talk about irregularities or deficiencies. There's the proper people are signing off on expenditures to go out. There's a routine tests. That's why I say you should have some type of internal monitoring so you can test what's going on and make sure you're in compliance with all rules, all accounting rules, federal rules, OMBs, everything, so that you're going to pass your audits. And that the board is reviewing all of the audits that take place and the corrective actions and holding managers accountable that these corrective actions have taken place. Because the last thing you want to do is have the same write-up this current year that you've had for the past 2 years. There should be evidence of improvement. There should be evidence that things have changed. There should be evidence that you're making strides in being able to manage the grant dollars that are available to you. I'm going to make this particular, because I have it in a PowerPoint, and I'm going to make it available on my website, www.asharpoutlook.com, so that you can go through and look at all of the other items that you need to be preparing for your A133 audit. The goal is to have no errors and to achieve your goals and have accuracy in your work. Be sure to tune in again next week, next Tuesday. We're going to be talking about your story. And is your story worth spreading? So join us next Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Central Time, here on A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com.